2 Timothy, chapter 1.
Okay, maybe I'll get it off
there. We're still in verse 10. It's talking about the grace which was given us before the world began in Christ Jesus. Verse 10, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's a lot of words. By the appearing is dia epiphania, and it's where we get the word epiphany. And it means if we were in a total eclipse of the sun, and then the sun would come out. That coming out of the sun is the epiphany. It's the bright shining forth. And let's do a couple of things. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4.
Check what?
2 Corinthians chapter 4. As usual, we have to start in verse 15 of chapter 3. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, whoever shall turn to the Lord, i.e., total repentance, the veil is taken away, because there's no more you, so you're not interested in redemption of self any longer. It matters not what happens to you or what people say about you or anything else, because you're not in the picture. And that's what abandonment, that's what... repentance really means. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, no longer see ourselves in the glass. But now we behold the glory of the Lord. And we are changed or transfigured into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, among Christians, fainting is almost more common than breathing. Because you quit in your mind. You start trying to apprehend these matters by the mind. Or you use your mind to lean on your own arm of understanding. And spiritually, that means you have fainted. You have left this position of abandonment and repentance and have returned to self. And therefore, you've raised the evil one from his deadly head wound by your own breath. What?
I'm just thinking how Jesus was in this respect of not using his mind. And it's
total. You're either totally in him or totally out of him. There isn't any in between. All right. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. not walking in craftiness. Nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined, and that's where we get this epiphany, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Remember that showbread is also called the bread of the face or the bread of the presence. So everything now is about His presence and your absence. Everything. All right, let's go to... Back to 2 Timothy, that's where we're going. Chapter 1. But is now made manifest by the appearing or the epiphany of our Lord, of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. Abolished is katargeo. It means to render unemployed, to render idle. You've abolished death because you've deprived it of its influence on you. That's what abolish really means. It means to deprive of any influence. Now, is that true in you? Let's go to Hebrews chapter something or other, 2 maybe. Hebrews 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Can everybody understand? Through fear of death, your entire life, you've been subject to bondage. Does that connect with you? You know, as that sentence reads, you know, with one or two exceptions, I've never been afraid of death in my life. That's why I did so many stupid things. But I've been afraid of being separated from that which I love, that which is important to me. And that separation is the death that has been abolished, the fear of separation, because you have been made partaker of Him. Now, let's go to 1 John. Chapter 1.
I was thinking when death first entered, he saw they were naked and ashamed.
Amen.
And hid themselves.
And they What did I say? Go First John. The word fellowship, it sounds like a really religious world. But it what it means, it's the same word that we have for the for communion. It's koinonia, or some variant of that. And it means two of the same. So, or more, two or more of the same thing, the same issues, the same value system, it's the same, and by therefore, because of that, then that's who you love. Now watch. And we've tried our whole life to find somebody to love us. Isn't that sad? And then if we think we found somebody and then it doesn't happen, then we pine for the fjords. Oh, I remember that. Wasn't that wonderful in the past? Oh. And it goes on and on and on your whole life. And the loneliness gets more and more and more increased. The aloneness becomes manifest. Well, what does it say? Let's look. Verse 5. This is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The only way that you can have this koinonia, this togetherness, is if you walk in the light as he is in the light. Otherwise, you're just going to spend your whole life just terribly lonely. I don't care if you're around 50,000 people. Internally, you're lonely. You're dying because of loneliness. Because the prison ministry isn't going in. I mean, it's could be, I don't care, but it's not. The prison ministry is to release you from that bondage of aloneness, which is the fear of death. And what happens? Really, we are so stupid that if we think someone will leave us, we leave first. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Now, how stupid is that? But we're hardwired to do it. There were two or three women in my life that I probably could have married. But in each case, I left them because, and I didn't, I would never have admitted it to anybody. I was afraid that they would leave, so I left them. Now talk about stupid. Now, in marriage or in relationships, you may not leave physically, but you've left in your mind. You've fainted vis-a-vis that relationship in your mind. And so you continue and you have 1,000 truces that allow you to have the appearance of some kind of marriage or relationship. But it's a lie. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Those of you that have been married a few times?
A few times, a few years.
But in him, he has deprived death of its influence. So it's no longer an issue. It's not even the fear of separation becomes a non-issue. If you still fear that, there's no way to solve it except repentance. Is that clear? Oh, I just want a girlfriend. No, I don't. I was talking about somebody else. I won't mention any names. There's more than one in here that are in that position. Oh.
Are you solving problems?
All right, back to 2 Timothy. He has abolished death. Death is thanatos. And it means separation. I mean, in actuality, in terms of the physical death, it means separating the soul from the body. But in spiritual death, if you've separated your soul, and your soul is just your you-ness, what makes you you, has nothing to do with anything important, unless it has been transfigured by the renewing of your mind. Then, let's go to some scriptures, Sarah, hearing me talk. Let's go to Colossians 2. Talking about as you received him, so walk you in him, you're complete in him, you're a partaker of him. In him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead. And so then in verse 12, we are buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Now, you can't be quickened together with him until you reckon your death. Because otherwise, your mind and your ideas and your hopes and dreams will always be in competition with him. And he could have wiped them out with a... But his humility is so great, he takes the lowest seat always. Until he stops taking the lowest seat, until he stands up, then you don't want to know that if you're not in him. Now will I arise, he said. Now, we are quickened, we are made alive together in him. But your mind will always tell you that's a lie. Your mind will always, as I said earlier, faint and try to come up with some other solution. You'll join Match.com or... What's that one we made fun of?
eHarmony.
Yeah, eDisharmony.com. Yeah. What did John, was John the...
I think John wrote that, didn't you? Kevin did that. Thank you, Kevin.
All right.
You delivered.
Let's go to Colossians 3. If then you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth in the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Now, the only way you mortify, you can't try to mortify, because you've given it power. You simply see, you consider, you know, you see yourself as God sees you. He sees you as an empty, hopefully, as an empty vessel. Now, the only question, the only issue that exists in any one of our lives that believe is, will you wait on Him? Are you going to wait on Him? Are you going to push on ahead? Think of the thousands and thousands of obstacles that He has put in your way your whole life. And for you, the obstacles were something to try to overcome. But for God, it was the Holy Spirit bringing you to the end of yourselves. But you were not yet poor. You were wearied in the greatness of your way, yet you didn't say there is no hope. For you found the life of your own hand. Therefore, you were not grieved over and over and over and over. Again. Anything that your mind can conceive of to do, to fix, to accomplish is the antithesis of the will of God. It's the opposite. It's not just a little bit different. It's the opposite. Because the night has come when no man can work. Now, this is radical. Because your mind will always tell you, I'm just going to sit in a corner. I'll just sit in a corner and die. Well, that's because you have a form of godliness, but deny His efficacy, His power. Anybody know? Anybody have experience with this? Walk in the light of the sparks, the ideas that you have kindled. And God says, this shall you have of mine hand. You shall lie down in sorrow. How many times has that happened? How many times? Oh no, but this one, this is the good one. You blithering idiot. Oh no, I have sweet thoughts. How long? How long? How long? What's going on, Scott?
Just listening.
Anything ringing the bell?
Sure. I can't expound on it, but hit lots of bells.
That's enough. I don't feel like talking anymore. And I'm sure you're saying, thank God. Anybody else want to confess anything or expand? Or anybody not believe this? Take it, big guy.